Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. I'm Hannah Skorar. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster and I'll be leading the service of the word. Our music this morning is being led by Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovesen, Duncan Sizeland, and as ever, Steve Hollowitz. And of course, we have with us this morning John Gardier, sound engineer. I'd invite you to check out our Sunday school videos that will get sent out with the email this morning, and I will invite you now to prepare yourselves for worship.
The spacious firmament on high, with all the blue ethereal sky, and spangled heaven's shining frame, their great original proclaim, the unwearied sun.
Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Philippians. If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain this resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Walk with me, I will walk with you, and we'll build the land that God has planned, where love shines through. Walk with me, I will walk with you, and we'll build the land that God has planned, where love shines through. Walk with me, I will walk with you, and we'll build the land that God has planned, where love shines
through. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce, but the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking to them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So we've been working our way through Matthew for a few weeks now, and I'm starting to think of Martin Luther, who stated that you have to squeeze a biblical passage until it leaks the gospel. And it feels like sometimes that these parables have just nothing new to yield. And I'm going to have to squeeze something out of this. Now, I don't mind doing that. I think that's part of the fun of preaching, but it does become laborious to mine parables for something other than the obvious reading. Like this one, what do we do with this parable? Here we have Jesus talking to his opponents, the Pharisees, and his followers likely standing around, and he starts with another parable. There's a man who owns a vineyard. Again, another vineyard. And he leases out his land to the tenants. And then when he sends some slaves to collect the produce, the tenants decide they don't want to give him the produce or the land, and they kill the slaves. Then this dude sends more slaves back to them to try, I don't know, to reason with them. And those slaves get killed. Finally, the owner sends his son, thinking, I guess, that they will not mess with him. And of course, the son gets killed. At this point, you might be like me and thinking, geez, what does it take for this guy to call the police? Why did he keep sending people if he knew that the tenants would keep killing? What is so special about this vineyard? Now, if we want to be obvious, we will all read this very much the same way that the Pharisees did when they were listening. God is the landowner who is absent, and he has left the tenants in charge of the land. The murderous tenants are the Pharisees, or for our purposes, bad people who pretend that they are the church. The slaves are the chosen people of God, or us, and the son is Jesus. And they hear Jesus speaking these words, and when he asks what should the landowner do to those tenants, they hear themselves in this story, and they recognize the crumbling of their power. They recognize that there might be coming a reckoning. Yet, if that's the way we're reading this, is there a lesson in here for us? I mean, if we don't see ourselves as the Pharisees, if we see ourselves as the slaves, God's chosen people, then all we are passive people getting killed. And I think there's some temptation in there for us to picture ourselves this way, to see the decline of our church and feel like what is destroying us is outside our walls, outside of our control, to see ourselves as battered around by natural disasters in an uncaring world. Trust me, I get that. I understand that reading. But I think we should squeeze some more because I think there's something in here for us. And I think it's in the vineyard itself. See, the vineyard to us is just a vineyard. We've all gone to a winery for a tour or a wedding, and you look out at the rows of grapevines and think, oh, that's pretty. But a vineyard actually means something in a biblical context. It means something pretty important. Vineyards are a symbol of security. They represent a community and a society that has become settled, that it's no longer just growing wheat for daily bread, but has enough roots to think about the future. Grapes take at least 3 years to get started. So a vineyard, that's long-term planning. It's not subsistence farming. It's prosperity. And what does Jesus plop right into the symbol of security and safety? Violence, greed, avarice, the evils of the world, here juxtaposed against the ultimate biblical symbol of the success of a community and the stability of a peaceful, healthy nation, is suffering and pain. Pretty harsh, but important. Because what Jesus is telling us is the reality of creation, that even when we think we are immune from the ills of the world, they can come creeping in. Even when we think we have arrived at the utopian destination, we are still vulnerable to the worst parts of ourselves. I listened to this podcast called It Could Happen Here, and it's one freelance journalist's prediction about the United States and what he calls the Second Civil War. He sees the violence and unrest, the racial tension, and the government corruption as the spark that will ignite a situation similar to failed states like Syria and Iraq. And I must say, it is disturbing. It is so disturbing because it's not abstract. It's not snapshots from a war-torn country halfway around the world. It's right in the backyard. This should be a warning to us that all the structural problems that have flourished and flowered in the U.S. are embedded here too and have roots in our country as well. We have the same bad tenants and we can make the same bad mistakes. But I think this is also important to the story. that Jesus tells us hope is not lost. That our safe little pockets of the world, our vineyards, are not just at risk. That there are not just interjections of bad things into our lives, but that God is also always interjecting, always entering into history, into creation. God, the landowner, keeps sending people. He keeps trying to give his tenants another chance, another opportunity, keeps trying to enter into relationship with them. And while this might seem a little crazy, my little sister actually blew up when I was brainstorming this with her, saying how freaking stupid is the landowner to send more people after the first ones got killed. But that's just it. God maybe seems a little crazy to us. Because who loves people that much? Jesus asked the Pharisees what the landowner will do to the tenants when he comes back. And in their fear and recognition, they say they will be destroyed. But I think the better question is not, what will the landowner do, but what did he do? The landowner sends his son in the hopes that he will have the respect of the tenants, in hopes that he will bring them into relationship with the landowner. And when he is killed, God raises him from the dead and sends him back to us yet one more time, still bearing that message of God's crazy love. He enters into the world time and time and time again to bring hope and love and reconciliation. He sends the Holy Spirit to ignite our hearts and bind us together in communities of faith. He gives us not just one chance, not just two, but millions of opportunities to turn this around. He squeezes the gospel out of us in the most bleak of situations. We should all hang on to our vineyards, but we should also all hang on to the times when God is squeezing us, because thank goodness for that. Amen.
Thank you.
And I would invite you to join me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I would invite you now into a position of prayer. Let us pray trustfully to the God who has loved us into being and cherished us all our life. We pray all people of faith throughout the world. We pray for those who are Christian and those who are members of other world religions. In our cycle of prayer this week, we pray for Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Linda, Primate of the Anglican Church of Canada, Mark, our National Indigenous Bishop, Anne, our Metropolitan, and Todd, our Bishop, for Marinez, Bishop of our Companion Diocese of Amazonia, for Sam, our Archdeacon, Val, our Regional Dean, for the ministry of Brian McKay here at St. James Westminster. We pray for the members of our parish family, for the Hessel and Wise families as they grieve, and for all those whom we love and name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Loving God, guide your church into ways of spiritual beauty and gracious wisdom. May your word be spoken out with passion and heard with humility and joy. Sustain and feed us so that we bear fruit in abundance. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, may justice and righteousness flourish in this neighborhood, this country, this world. Bless those who work to right what is wrong and mediate where there is conflict. Raise up leaders who are happy to serve and protect them from power's corruption. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we thank you for the nurturing we have received. And pray for our children and young people as they grow. Protect them from evil and strengthen them in faith. May they continue to be yours forever. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, give comfort and healing to all who are in any kind of need, sorrow, or pain. May they sense your reassuring presence and know that you are there with them wherever their journey takes them. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we pray for those who have died to this earthly life and now see you face to face. We remember your mercy and commit our loved ones to the safety of your safekeeping. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we thank you for all the care and attention that you lavish on us. Make us worthy of our calling and continue your ongoing work in us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Like a rock, like a rock, God is under our feet. Like a starry night sky, God is over our heads. Like a sun on the horizon, God is ever.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.